Hello, everyone. Welcome to the WrestleZone wrap-up. I'm Colin Tessler, of WrestleZone.com, joined by Robert DeFelice. Robert, how are you doing tonight?
Colin, you're so flustered. You forgot your own name. I'm doing pretty damn great. It was WrestleMania SmackDown, baby. That means it was basically the kickoff show that they don't want to give us at Raymond James Stadium because they want that first person out the crowd to be a hot one. And Colin, I think we're going to get it tomorrow night. I'm still not used to WrestleMania Saturday, but we better get used to it because it'll be on in about 22 hours.
22 hours, man. I mean, that's pretty crazy. You know, especially, you know, you and I, we do this for a living. And so even though there's that constant knowledge that WrestleMania, it's here, it's time, like it still just feels crazy to think it's tomorrow. I mean, and technically tonight, if you want to call that the kickoff, but I'm okay. It's an exciting time. I'm looking forward to it. And I mean, tonight, kind of a you know, very nothing episode of SmackDown, for lack of a better word. But the main draws here delivered. And other than that, there's a lot of filler. But we'll get into it. Before we do, I want to remind you all that this show, like everything we do here at WrestleZone, is available on any number of platforms, whether it's SoundCloud, Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, whatever it may be. Leave a like, subscribe. We appreciate it. And yes, as Jason Michael Campbell said in the comments, we have moved, I guess, technically back to Friday nights. We had done Friday nights at first. We moved to Saturday mornings, did that for a bit. It was fun. But now we're back to Fridays, doing things in the heat of the moment. That's a win-win in my book, and I think this is...
Because here's the reality. Saturday morning is for cartoons, man, and I can't be sitting here talking about SmackDown when I gotta be eating cereal watching some cartoons.
I always wanted to do something like that, you know, some little play on words there, but we're the SmackDown double down. It's hard to find, you know, a nice natural pairing with cartoons and things, but there's a natural connection with Saturday and, you know, cartoons. But tomorrow's Saturday, it's WrestleMania Saturday, so get your cartoons out of here. It's WrestleMania day,
and it's the greatest Saturday of all the Saturdays. Okay, and I could not be more excited for tomorrow night, especially following the major official announcement that yes, they will be making history for the first time ever. Two women will headline WrestleMania. Not only that, but for the first time ever, it is an all-black main event of WrestleMania. It's happening. Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair for the SmackDown Women's Championship. I couldn't be more excited.
I mean, we got that confirmed today. I think Sasha Banks had basically leaked it herself in some interview a couple days ago, but Stephanie McMahon announced it, and then they finally officially confirmed it today. Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair will main event WrestleMania. Absolutely the right call. I was very glad. You know, we Robert, you and I have talked about it for weeks now. It's like, will it main event? Will it not? Are they going to give it to Drew and Bobby? They're getting the main event, and I as they well should have. That way we can kind of put all the noise and the debate about card placement and whatnot, get that out of here. Focus on the fact that it's going to be a great main event. And I was thinking, I was writing a preview for the show, and I was just thinking, I mean, in some ways, like this match feels more special, even more special than Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey, and Charlotte Flair, WrestleMania 35. Maybe just, and I mean, they're both star-studded, and everyone involved in both matches are stars. This one just feels even more special to me. I mean, I may be biased, but that's how I feel about it.
I think that where one excels, the other fails. I think the Triple Threat was a much better story going in. This match, I think, has more potential from an in-ring perspective, but we don't have to wait much longer. Maybe about 24 hours from right now, that main event should be getting underway. And again, I couldn't be more excited. Sasha Banks legitimately changing the game, adding to her Hall of Fame legacy as it is. Bianca Belair entering her first official WrestleMania. She did the Battle Royal a few times. That's the pre-show. As we've discovered, that can essentially be an episode of SmackDown. That doesn't count. Bianca Belair's first WrestleMania will be as the headliner, joining such elite names as Sid Vicious. I mean, my God, does it get any better than this? I'm very excited. But Colin, I gotta ask you, let's not waste any time. Who's gonna win?
It's gotta be Bianca. It's gotta be. There's no way. You know, there are a couple matches for their overall card at WrestleMania that, barring something crazy that it seemed like pretty much locks to me. One of those is Bianca Belair winning. I do not see Sasha Banks walking away with the title. I mean, maybe she deserves her own WrestleMania. Oh, okay. No, maybe she deserves her own WrestleMania moment. But this is Bianca Belair's time. She needs to win, you know, make her the next big thing, as she has been presented pretty much since she arrived on SmackDown. And, you know, roll with that. And, you know, maybe you do a rematch and or maybe you send Sasha back to Raw, something like that, you know. But for now, it's Bianca Belair's match to lose. This one, as exciting as it is, I think it's fair to say it is kind of predictable. I don't necessarily see it as a match that could go either way. It does feel like one that's, you know, meant to be won by Bianca based on what we've been seeing unfold so far. She's just so likable as a character, as a person. I said months ago, like pretty much right after even before she won the Rumble, just she, her real life story, the way she's presented on screen, everything, the whole package, absolutely terrific. And not to take anything away from Sasha Banks, but I'm all aboard the Bianca Belair train here, and this is turning into a match where I would definitely be disappointed if it didn't go the way that I wanted it to, because I'm just that invested in this story of Bianca Belair's triumph. Do you see it differently, Robert?
Well, look, I'm of the opinion that all baby faces should clear the table this year and just win everything. I want Sasha Banks to have that moment. But maybe she's had enough moments in the history-making aspects of all of it. I think Bianca has to win. And I think WrestleMania, win, lose, or draw, doesn't matter who, that show goes off the air with pyro and those two women embracing in the ring.
Yeah, I mean, Bianca Belair was on After the Bell this week and, you know, added a little more color to the significance of this match. She said that this isn't just about a title. It's not about, you know, this storyline. It's about everything that came before. And she said, basically, you know, once she's standing there tomorrow night, she'll be, you know, the people that, you know, blaze the trail for her will be with her in spirit. And I thought that was really powerful. I'm really looking forward to this. We've been talking about it for weeks now. The build has not been great, but, at the end of the day, this is still going to be a terrific match. Even before the bell rings, it feels like one of those rare occasions where just the significance and just the star power involved as well will make it special. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. We did hear from both Sasha and Bianca tonight. Nothing groundbreaking or too crazy, but I did enjoy it still. Like I said, Bianca came off as very likable. Sasha came off as very cocky and arrogant in some ways. So they've definitely kind of solidified that story as we've drawn closer to this match. But I'm very excited for that. Definitely the right call to have a main event. I'm glad that we can stop worrying about that. And so that was kind of one of the pillars of SmackDown here. We saw these two women give their final thoughts before the match. And I guess kind of sticking in that same vein, we heard from all three participants in the Universal title match. We heard from Edge, Roman Reigns, and Daniel Bryan. And I tweeted about it during the show, but all three of these guys are doing some of the best work in their careers right now. I mean, we are absolutely spoiled getting to see these guys cut promos on a weekly basis. Daniel Bryan opened the show and just kind of, at least for me, not that there was ever any doubt, but just, you know, cut a gray babyface promo talking about the people that have doubted him, the people that have always said he's not good enough or they just deserve this spot, especially even now, like even though he's, you know, proven himself as a main eventer, as a champion, still surrounded by doubt. And he added kind of a new meaning to yes, right? You know, you're saying that yes, right, he can do this. And I thought that was pretty powerful, using his classic yes chant. I'll maintain, piped in yes chants still annoy the heck out of me, but I at least for the promo itself, I like that. And we did see Edge as well. He was out there and definitely, like, it feels like he's up the ante with each passing week, where he's become more desperate, more heated, where, like, there is that sense of that he is a desperate man, and that has added even more complexity to the story, as we've talked about. So I think I'll say that I prefer these two promos the most. Roman Reigns' promo was what you might expect, but which is great. Yeah, he's still doing great work, of course, but I think in some ways they still outshined him. I will note that I thought we were going to get all three guys face to face. I thought they had advertised that.
Yeah. I think I like the way they did it better, because let the guys cut their promos. That's going to be featured. in the vignettes. These guys are great. This, for me, so this hits me different than it hits a lot of other people. This is my kind of WrestleMania. This is my kind of match build, where it's three dudes who want to be the top dog, and they're going to cut great promos of being champion. I told you that when Edge is good, it's putting the emphasis on being the world heavyweight champion, and we got that. Now, I don't know who wins this one. This is as much of a toss-up as ever. I think an ending to WrestleMania, where you have real people, might be the best way to end it. But the story of 10 years to the day might be the best way to end it. But Roman Reigns is going to be the biggest babyface in the building, because these men and women have not seen Tribal Chief Roman. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say he's got a new theme song. He's got a new package. I think we're going to end up getting a major, major upset. And I'm not sure that everyone's going to be happy about whatever happens, but either way, it's intriguing.
There's no doubt about that. It is a very intriguing situation, no matter what, no matter how it goes. And even in the comments, people are divided. Rich Murphy is saying, I still think Edge pins Bryant to win the title. Thomas Belair is saying Edge has to win. Someone else, Jason Michael Campbell, saying, no, he doesn't know. That's too predictable. So he probably will. DJ Cassier saying Daniel Bryan will win this weekend. It seems to be, at least based on these comments, that there's some sense of, you know, the changes in the air that a Roman victory does appear to be somewhat unlikely at this point. As we've talked about, it does feel like, even if you factor out the fact that Daniel Bryan has, and the creative storyline here has done a great job of presenting Bryan as a genuine threat to the title, it does feel like, you know, Daniel is kind of there to take the pin in the event that, you know, Edge wins. That would make a lot of sense. Maybe Roman could take time off. That is a possibility. I haven't heard anything reported about that, but, you know, these things do happen around WrestleMania time, as Thomas Blair is saying. Stephen Chambers saying Daniel should win. I mean, I'll say, I tweeted, oh, you know, Daniel had a great promo tonight, and then someone said, oh, it's just the same old things we heard back at WrestleMania 30. And so for as many people that enjoy those parallels to WrestleMania, to his triumph from what was that, 7 years ago, there's probably just as many that say, no, we've already seen this story, we've done the song and dance, let's do something else now. So maybe that speaks to a victory for Edge being the best way forward here. And there's something to be said for whatever happens. It's probably one chapter in the story. Hermit Dakar saying whoever wins, Roman will win the belt back by SummerSlam. I think that's a fair prediction, especially like we were just saying, maybe Roman will take time off. Maybe whoever wins will have the title, and they'll become, for lack of a better word, the head of the table for the short-term future. But it is very unpredictable, and we've been talking about it for weeks.
There can only ever be one head of the table. Now, I guess that's not necessarily true. The table's got two sides. But, you know, I mean, I really think Roman goes to Raw. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, there's money there. There's money in Roman going to Raw and taking the biggest angle and putting it on what is typically the A-tier show.
I mean, that still seems to be the general perception. I will say, and I'm biased, I was doing the SmackDown show before I started doing Raw, like official the Raw post show. It does feel like ever since Roman came back and he's been having this run with the title, doing this great character work. Now we've got Edge over on SmackDown now. I have felt for a while that SmackDown has become the ace show in a lot of ways, even though you have the historical significance of Raw that has been the flagship show. At the very least, it's not the, you know, definite like A and B kind of divide that it once was. And to be fair, Hermit Dakar making a good point saying Roman can't save Raw, only WWE creative can. I mean, in some ways, even if you send Roman over there, it's still Raw, it's still 3 hours. Roman can only, let's say the Roman storyline takes up like an hour of that show, there's still 2 hours of non-Roman television. So maybe there's something to be said for that as well. And to play off what you were saying, there can only be one head of the table, but if he takes time off, he gets up from the table, takes a break from eating his meal, and someone else comes in, sits in the chair and takes a turn. And I maybe there's something to be said for that. I think this one, I'm very excited for it. I'm glad in a lot of ways that this is the overall main event. It is the most, to me, the most exciting, the most unpredictable, the most story rich in terms of the, I guess, the in-ring and out-of-ring story. I'm very excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. One match that did not get on the WrestleMania card that was kind of put on tonight's show was the SmackDown Tag Team title match between the Street Profits, the Dirty Dogs, the Mysterios, and American Alpha. And I will say, I feel like this match easily could have been on the main show. It feels like they could have done the tag team turmoil match for the women's division tonight, and then had the women's tag title match on night one or night two, and then he put on the SmackDown tag title match on the main card. It just, I think we were talking about it last week. Because of this decision, the Mysterios don't get to be on the WrestleMania card. Neither do the Street Profits, and that does feel like it feels, you know. I don't know if I'd say unfair, but you know, doesn't feel like necessarily something I agree with. I think all those guys deserve to be in front of the live crowd. DJ Cassier, in terms of the match result itself, saying the Mysterio should have won.
I disagree. I think that they did the best possible thing here because they were in front of people, and you do not slight these men in front of people this way. So because they were in front of people, I'm good with keeping it on the Dirty Dogs. Dolph Ziggler, Robert Roode, two of the greatest professional wrestlers of their time. If you'd asked me 10 years ago where I saw both of those men 10 years to the day, I would have told you on top of two separate promotions having main event classics. Never in my wildest dreams would I have guessed that they're in the same promotion, but here they are, and I think that they went with the right call because, again, putting over heels in front of nobody, it's fine to me.
I agree. I think, you know, in the outcome that this would have been on the WrestleMania card itself, the Dirty Dogs probably would not have won. So that maybe there's a lot of truth to that, where the Mysterios winning or the Street Profits winning would make a lot more sense if that were in front of fans. So if this had been the plan anyway, that makes sense. I just, like, I guess in the moment, you know, the Dirty Dogs won and I was caught off guard. I really came to this match fully expecting anybody other than the Dirty Dogs to win here. And they did. And I've been saying for weeks, the tag division on SmackDown is doing good stuff right now. All four of these teams have been doing good work in any matches that they've had against each other. Ideally, we will get another team to kind of add a little depth here, because four teams is a little light on that depth. But I'm enjoying this. I hope that eventually, you know, we'll see the Street Profits get their moment. I will say one thing that has been on my mind about WrestleMania: we're going to see the return of fans this weekend, and that's great. That is, you know, good, great day. You know, it's exciting. It's great to have the fans back. But then that's not that, like, it's a one off. We're not going to see any, you know, any more events like that in the short term future. I've seen several reports that there's no plans to have live shows with fans for the summer.
Again, that is why you need to maximize the next 48 hours, because you only get the chance to tell the right story in front of people once. And that means you need to kick it in to high gear. You can't afford any slips. And I think that is why every booking decision needs to make perfect sense at WrestleMania. And because of that, like, if this match was on in front of people, I'd have said Mysterios, because Dominic alone has earned it. But it wasn't, so good for the Dirty Dogs.
Yeah, I mean, let's pump the brakes, though. We can't expect every booking decision to be perfect WrestleMania. No matter what, there's going to be stuff that's divisive, that's not liked by everybody. That's just the nature of the beast. And expecting WWE to make perfect sense on a two-night show entirely, setting yourself up for a little disappointment there, Robert, at least in my eyes.
Well, I just think I'm holding them to a higher standard, a standard of the worldwide leader in sports entertainment for over 50 years at this point, at least a good 80. I hold them to a high standard, and mostly because you can't screw this up. You have it set basically where it's on a silver platter. Just do the right thing. And Well, let me address this. I see people saying, oh, this show's 1 out of 10, waste of 2 hours. It was the pre-show, guys. It was literally the pre-show. There were a lot of recaps for feuds that weren't Monday Night or Friday Night SmackDown feuds. It was a pre-show, and I'm okay with it. I actually thought it was a pretty easy watch.
It was an easy watch. I'll give it that. I tweeted. I was a little, I was giving them a hard time because, yeah, this show was filled with a lot of fluff with the video packages for Raw and SmackDown. It did feel like, it was the kickoff show, right? And that is pretty interesting. If we get this tomorrow / Sunday, it'll feel like a repeat, where you've got those same video pack, probably the same video packages, ironically. And we had the tag title match. We had Andre the Giant Battle Royale that usually would be on the kickoff show anyway. It was an easy watch, but the takeaway here, other than, kind of the bulk, the things that had been advertised, was a whole lot of nothing. The video packages, some, kind of cookie cutter promos. As much as I liked to hear from Bianca Belair, and I was glad that we got the Sasha Banks promo, we got a great promo from Big E. He was talking about his amateur sports background, and I thought that was a great way just to really add even more, I don't want to say legitimacy, but, more dimension, more depth to Big E's character. I really like to see that. I thought that was well done, although I still don't know what a Nigerian drum fight is.
Colin, what's a Belfast Brawl?
All right, we talked about this last week. But
what is a Belfast Brawl?
I don't know. It was the first WrestleMania I ever watched, and I couldn't tell you now.
A Belfast Brawl was essentially a no DQ match because it was Finlay, so they called it a Belfast Brawl.
Yeah.
If I had to bet money, I would assume we're probably getting that because we're not in the Thunderdome. So we can't do here's a cool cinematic, let's fight in the field and do something great. I think we're getting a no DQ match and I still think they'll kill it. Have high hopes for this match. However, Big E Langston, and I say Langston because I put respect on that man's name, Big E Langston. That name demands respect, and I will give it to him. Great promo about growing up in Tampa. Great promo about just being home. And now I wish he was wrestling for the world championship because that was a fantastic promo. I still say you can't not give it to Apollo because Apollo needs to win or just kind of go away.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but
we'll call a spade here. He gets a gimmick change. He needs a dominant win to establish this. If I was betting man, I say Apollo wins here and eventually drops it down the line to Cesaro. That's if I'm booking. I'm not. So we'll see what happens. Big E will be played to the ring by Wale. Lots of great celebrity involvement at WrestleMania this year. Feels like old times. I'm going Apollo with my heart, Big E with my head.
I like it. I like it. I think that's fair. I think we've been saying the same for a couple weeks now. It does feel like Apollo does need the win. And in a lot of ways, WrestleMania feels like a show where all of the good guys should win. And I said it last week. It feels like this triumphant show, this celebration. Where it's supposed to be, a feel good story all around, but not everybody can win. That not every good guy, and if I were to be simplistic about it, can win. So maybe this is the perfect situation where Apollo wins to kind of, as we usually see, they do kind of try and balance the card where, some of the bad guys have to win. So maybe that would make sense. And a lot of ways, maybe Big E doesn't need the win as much as I think he might, because he is still set up to succeed even without the title, even if he loses. So, I'll walk back some of my previous statements that, I really think he needs to win because I think he could be just fine without it. So if Apollo does win, kudos to him. He does need it in a lot of ways for the reasons we've said. Hopefully they can kind of salvage his gimmick here by giving him this big win on a big stage. And if not, like you said, Robert, maybe it's already time to scrap it because it's been...
I wouldn't say scrap it. I just think it's the acknowledgement that like Retribution didn't do anything for Ali, or that like Murphy is just always going to be a mid-card guy. You know, I wouldn't say scrap it. I just think the writing would be on the wall.
That's more what I meant. Scrap it like the next day. I just mean it does seem to kind of indicate that it's not necessarily going to work out in the long run. Acknowledge the comments here. Yes, DMX did pass away. You know, there was a lot of confusion over that. It was very unfortunate, and definitely our condolences in that regard. They did have the Andre the Giant Battle Royale on this show, and we talked about it last week. It was kind of weird where a lot of these guys were thrown out there, didn't get the WrestleMania moment that they may have wished for. But I did it last week, but let's just read off the participants, because this is a motley crew if I've ever seen one. We've got Akira Tozawa, Angel Garza, Cedric Alexander, Drew Gulak, Elias, Eric, Gran Metalik, Humberto Carrillo, Jackson Riker, Jey Uso, main event Uso, supposedly, Kalisto, King Corbin, Lince Dorado, Mace, Murphy, Mustafa Ali, Ricochet, Shelton Benjamin, Shinsuke Nakamura, Slapjack, T-Bar, and Tucker, of all people. So when they announced the participants here, this match went exactly how I thought it was going to go. We had Jey Uso, Shinsuke Nakamura, and King Corbin were in there for the final three. No one else on that list, in my eyes, maybe wild cards would have been Mustafa, maybe Ricochet, and that's about it. I thought this was a little predictable just the way that it was set up. I was very surprised we did see Retribution here, because we hadn't seen them since Fastlane, since they essentially turned on Mustafa Ali, and we did see a little, you know, kind of development there where, you know, there's T-Bar and Mace were still teaming together, and there's still definitely some tension there. Felt like there could, you know, I would have liked to see some development of that story since Fastlane, but I'm glad we got something here rather than just dropping entirely. Definitely some praise for Jey Uso winning. That was the right call. DJ Cassier saying Jey Uso is well deserving. Great job, WWE. I tweeted about it. Can he really be considered main event Uso when he's in this match, when he's in this Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale, for the trophy in a match that has Slapjack, Tucker, and some of these other guys that really are usually confined to main event? Granted, he needed to win, because if he didn't, if he lost this match, that would be even worse. But, and it's just hard to believe that for a guy that had been doing so well on SmackDown just last fall, that he's already, you know, I guess pardon the pun, but he's fallen this far. I think that's a shame in a lot of ways. And I guess I'm glad that he got something out of this, out of the WrestleMania season, rather than just being Roman's right hand man. But I was surprised that, you know, that this is what Jey Uso was doing for WrestleMania. I'll put it that way.
I think that this was awesome, because here's why. It came down to the only three people who had a shot in hell at winning it. And then I'm like, yeah, main event Jey Uso wins. Now, I tweeted this out. They need to demand that this trophy be renamed the Yokozuna Memorial Trophy in honor of the greatest bloodline in wrestling, the Anoa'i Dynasty. I think there's a story there. It's silly, but it's better than anything they've done with this trophy in 7 years. And by God, I want to see that happen.
I mean, I think that's fair, but at the same time, I think anytime you rename a trophy like that, the predecessor, or, you know, people, you know, let's say, you know, Andre's family, or, you know, descendants, for lack of a better word, they're not going to be happy with that. You know, to have that taken away, even if it's for storyline purposes, it's, I don't know if that's necessarily going to go well. I not to say the Yokozuna doesn't deserve it. Obviously, he had a great career of his own, but that's my instant reaction to that. Where
the way I see it, he was 600 pounds. Andre was 5. I mean, he literally weighs more. So if we're to put them on a scale, he weighs more. Therefore, he's more important. Therefore, he should get the trophy. That's how life works.
Your logic is sound, and I have no counter. I point to you. If they do that, I think that'd be pretty fun. I think that'd be a nice way to kind of really flesh out this bloodline thing. Could happen. Maybe we'll see that next week. week where JSOL got in, this will turn into something. I will say a lot of the time it feels like the Andre Battle Royale doesn't really go anywhere, where it's just, it's done to get people on the WrestleMania card. In this case, wasn't even on the WrestleMania card, and nothing really tends to come of it. Maybe this year's an exception. We'll have to wait and see. Otherwise, other than the Battle Royale, we did see some development of the tag team turmoil match. We saw all the tag teams involved brawl backstage. We got a little tease that Billie Kay and Carmella would be officially added. WWE kind of messed up the graphic there, where they released the initial graphic for a Fatal 4-Way. Then they announced to be a tag team turmoil, but you know, Billie Kay and Carmella were on one graphic, but not the other. So I don't know what's going on there. They're in the segment, so maybe they'll be added. They still don't think they're officially added to the match, but they're kind of...
No, Carmella said she's going to WrestleMania.
She could be going, but doesn't mean she's in the match.
Yeah, well, right? Look, it's a tag team turmoil. I've said this openly. The Bella Twins are going to win this thing. That's where my mind is. That's where my heart is. The Bella Army, okay, they are a loyal bunch. And if we're talking about getting pops, we're getting pops by putting the tag titles on Nikki and Brie Bella. They're in the gym working out together. I know that could easily mean they just live together. But I'm going to go the extra mile here and say, put it on the Bellas, because what the hell have you got to lose? That tag division is a mess as it is. Put it on the Bellas and let's have some fun.
I mean, there's something to be said for that. Even if it's not the Bellas, it does feel like this is a pretty good situation to have somebody not advertised, you know, come out and win it here. I've seen some theories or speculation that it could be Bayley and Charlotte Flair. That feels like kind of an outside shot where we don't really necessarily know what's going on with Charlotte and everything. Bayley's not even on the card. We've talked about that before. There have been some reports that she might be involved after all, but we still don't really know how. So it is hard to say, kind of beyond these advertised predictions. But I don't know. I think, you know, at least going off of who's advertised, we've talked about it before. As we did see Nia Jax and Tamina face off in a match tonight. They're still trying to establish that Tamina is a very imposing figure in the women's division, and that's fine. It does feel like they are trying to likewise establish that Tamina and Natalya are favorites in this match. Maybe that's a red herring, maybe it's not, but I think that duo, and in my mind at least, potentially Lana and Naomi tend to be probably at the top of the list for me of who's advertised, at least, barring anything crazy.
Of who's advertised, I think it should only come down to the Riot Squad or the Lana and Naomi. I would go with Lana and Naomi because all I want is for the crowd to pop, and people love themselves some Naomi. I just want major crowd pops. I'd wait. I'd literally, day of, if Liv and Ruby get a bigger pop, then it's them. If Lana and Naomi get a bigger pop, it's them. But go with the audience.
That seems like a very, very precarious direction, where it's like that literally turning into a popularity contest. But maybe there's something said for that. Maybe, you know, you give the people what they want, and you know, then if they're not happy with it, they only have themselves to blame. So maybe that's the solution to WWE's problems. Your idea for the Bellas is getting some support, though. Friend of the show, Nando, saying he agrees, give the Bellas the titles. DJ Cassier saying, you know, we saw that with the Hardys a couple years ago, where they had a surprising return, and they won the titles. So maybe we see that. Nesha Kurse saying Lana and Naomi need the titles, though. Ironically,
need,
this match...
need is a strong word. I don't know that there's any... Well, if I was going to go with need, I would legitimately say the Riot Squad needs this win, if I was going to go with need. But going with the people, I think Naomi would get the bigger pop. I think the Bellas would get the biggest pop, but we don't actually know that's going to happen. That's just my Hail Mary pitch. Speaking of Hail Mary pitches, we've heard about the man. We've heard about Becky Lynch. She's out here tweeting acronyms for night one. Becky Lynch, is she going to be at WrestleMania? Yes or no, Colin? What do you think?
All right. So going off of Becky's tweet, Becky Lynch's tweet where she basically made an acronym saying very strongly hinting that she'd be on night one. We saw that she completely misdirected the fans, but back at the Royal Rumble, she I think tweeted like a picture of the curtain or something like that, and everyone freaked out, and there was nothing to it at all. Let's live in reality for a second. It's April. She had her baby in December. So it's possible that she could be, but I'll still say it feels pretty unlikely. It does feel
I think a WrestleMania appearance doesn't require getting physical. I'm going to give you the wildest thing you'll hear. And I think it's Becky Lynch shows up, maybe like a certain report said, as a guest of a special Ding Dong Hello, maybe just on her own. I think Ronda Rousey shows up. And I think those two women agree to fight next year. Agree to fight in front of fans. Get the pop. And then say, I need a year to do it because I just had a baby and I need to get in shape to kick your ass. And Ronda can say, all right, well, in a year, I'm going to show you that you should have never been here in the first place. That's how I would book it. Nick Khan was like, Ronda and Becky will be back sooner than later. I think you just do it here. But if I was going with my brain, I don't think Becky Lynch shows up at all. Like, if I'm going with my brain, I don't think she shows up. But if she does, that's how I'd book it.
Robert, you and I were talking about this earlier today, and I don't know if they can pull off the Rock and Cena build. I mean, Becky, great star, you know, arguably one of WWE's rank of WWE's top stars is subjective, but no doubt she is, you know, one of the company's top stars. That is a fact. Fine. But Ronda Rousey, big star as well. I don't know if they can really pull off the Rock and Cena build where you announce it, you build it out for a year, even if you factor in, you know, let's say they have a tag team match or something at SummerSlam or Survivor Series. A year is a long time. This is the wrestling industry. We fans are impatient. We want things now. We don't want to wait. We're not all about delayed gratification. So you're entirely right when you say that, you know, Becky could show up and not get physical. I think that's realistic. And if again, I can't even say likely because I just don't know. In some ways, because she tweeted about it, I almost want to say like, oh, therefore she's not going to show up. She's continuing to kind of like, you know, have some fun with the fans this time of the year. I do think that WWE still wants to do Becky versus Ronda Rousey at some point. I don't know if we start kind of getting the wheels turning for that this weekend. In some ways, like I said, a year is a long time. Why not say, okay, let's face off. I'm going to contradict myself. In some ways, it feels like they could do that at SummerSlam, or then if they do want to have that challenge, then you say, okay, I want to fight you on the biggest stage there is, so let's do it next WrestleMania. I think, is next year in Hollywood? Or is that, no, next year's Texas.
Year's Texas, the year after Hollywood.
That's still a big stage, so if they do want to do that, I think it's possible. I will say, though, I don't mean to keep making comparisons, but Rock and Cena could do it because it was Rock and Cena. You have The Rock going out there cutting amazing promos. Becky can go out there and cut great promos as well, but it takes two to tango. And I don't know necessarily if Ronda Rousey could really, I won't say hold her weight, but, you know, it's hard to keep a storyline heated for that long. So I don't know. I want to see that match. I think that's probably one of the biggest, you know, matches WWE has available that they haven't really done yet, or at least I'll say one of the biggest rematches they've got available at this point. I just don't know. I like the idea of Becky showing up and doing, you know, an appearance on like something like Ding Dong Hello with Bayley. That way you get Bayley on the show at least. I was talking to Bill Pritchard of WrestleZone earlier, and of all the four horsewoman pairings, we have not really seen Becky Lynch and Bayley, so maybe that's a good feud we could get. Even if it's like in the short term, and then Ronda Rousey still being the long-term plan, maybe there's something said for that. Maybe we started to see that, get the wheels turning for that this weekend. Could happen. I'd be excited to see her back. Don't get me wrong. I want Becky Lynch to come back as soon as possible. I think the women's division has missed her. Even though, you know, Asuka's been doing great work, Sasha, Bianca, like overall it's doing great, but obviously adding Becky Lynch back into the mix would only help things. So I'm hopeful she'll be there. I'm not expecting her to be. I will say, like most things, I'll kind of compare it to Christian's debut at Revolution. You know, there have been reports that Becky Lynch might show up, and in that case, I'm like, don't tell me. I want to be surprised. Like, that's one of the downsides of, you know, this the nature of the beast. But there's no surprises anymore. I want things to be kept secret and like to, you know, lock some of these things down so these things are actually, you know, unknown. And then these things happen and it's actually exciting. I'm like, oh, it's exciting, but you know, I knew about it. But that I'm just being grumpy.
No, I think you're right. But I think we're in an era where surprises are hard to come by because everybody knows everything.
Yeah, that's the way it is, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Now, I do like Nando's idea here. If Becky comes back, and if Ronda Rousey comes back in somewhat close proximity, maybe you do something like what we've seen, you know, in the past, where it's like you have one of them doing great things on Raw, one of them doing great things on SmackDown. You kind of tease that, and you indirectly build it up. You kind of like what we saw with Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns back in Survivor Series, where they're kind of individually being dominant, and then eventually they come together. This would be different, of course. It'd be potentially a WrestleMania match, but maybe there's something said for that, rather than directly getting this year-long build to an announced match, slowly teasing it and drawing it out, and you know, clearly going in that direction without making it clear. I think there's something said for that, because when you officially announce it, then it is hard to, like, you know, fill that year full of time and keep that storyline entertaining. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. WrestleMania is a time that's full of surprises. It's full of exciting moments and matches, and that's one of the reasons why it's the most wonderful time of the year. I'm very excited for it. I hope you are as well. Here, also, we'll have you covered with any number of coverage, whether it's our news coverage. John Clark is he's our boots on the ground. He's in Tampa right now. He'll be at both nights of the show with the on-site coverage. I'll be doing news coverage on Sunday. Bill Pritchard and Tyler Treese will be on tomorrow. We'll have you covered with any number, you know,
Wow, yeah, the boss is doing the coverage for night one. I'm everywhere in wrestling media. If you look for me, I'll be there. If they need me here, I'll be there, you know. But I'm also over at Fightful.com if you want to float around and check that out. I'm there. Here's the deal. It's WrestleMania. No matter what, have fun. This is the greatest weekend of our lives every year. And you know, just have fun with it.
That's all it boils down to. Have fun, enjoy it. You know, even if it, like Robert, you were saying earlier, we want it to make perfect sense. Even if it doesn't, enjoy the fact that it will be a fun show. Hopefully fans will be back for the first time in what's felt like ages. So enjoy that. It's going to be a special show no matter what happens. Why they covered, well, for the WrestleMania show itself and for everything that comes next, whether it's the Raw post show, the NXT post show that's now separate from AEW because the Wednesday Night Wars are over. So NXT's on Tuesdays, AEW is on Wednesdays. And then we've got the Impact show as well. Now we've got this show with the SmackDown Double Down on Fridays. All of those shows are available on any number of streaming services. So please do leave a like and subscribe. We appreciate your support. And again, no matter what, enjoy WrestleMania and do one thing, even beyond WrestleMania, one thing above all others, Robert. Can you tell the people what that is?
That's right. Beyond WrestleMania, beyond the collective, beyond IWTV, enjoy wrestling.
Indeed.